You're listening to the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Worldwide Sports Radio presents Chalk Talk.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
With Rene Canales, Fogues, and James Boccioni.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Friday edition of Chalk Talk here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. I am indeed Rene Canales, and I am joined in the studio. To my right is Evan Mazza, our now daily guest. our producer, Big Mike Grifkin, is over there to whatever direction. That's
far, far away.
Yeah, far, far away land.
Far away.
No James Boccioni today.
He's going on vacation.
He is going on vacation, but I believe he had work today, so important. But John Fogerty will be in the studio.
I wonder if he found out how. I wonder if he found out how the Brooklyn Nets did.
You know what's funny?
You're so mean.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny though? The moment I heard that coming out of Evan's mouth yesterday, I'm like, no, no, what are you doing? Oh no. I'm like, oh, what a way to ruin this guy's night. But then I thought about it. I'm like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, you can't really get away with that, but whatever. a few things on the docket today. We're going to get to the Yankees as they avoided arbitration with Luis Severino
cha-ching.
Gave him a 4-year, $40 million deal there. Nice little chump change for Luis Severino. We also have the NBA. We got All-Star Weekend this weekend. It starts with the celebrity game today. Then we got the the All-Star festivities, in a sense, on Saturday with the dunk contest, skills challenge, three-point contest. And obviously the All-Star game itself is on Sunday. We also have the WWE's Elimination Chamber this weekend, as it was brought to my attention by our very own Evan Mazza and
hey,
Big Mike Grifkin.
That's okay. On Monday, I totally forgot until Monday night when I was watching Raw and they were saying, hey, Elimination Chamber. I was like, oh, that's right. Elimination Chamber is this Sunday.
Yeah, that happened. And for those people who actually watch soccer and like soccer and love the sport of soccer.
Love soccer, man.
Love soccer.
Football?
Football, yes. Football.
Football.
Ex-Manchester United player Nani, who's Portuguese. He's 32 years old, but it looks like he will be signing with an MLS franchise by the name of Orlando City Soccer Club. Looks like that'll be finalized within the next few hours, maybe coming days. But that's a player who used to play for a really big club in England.
Oh, really?
And around the world coming to the MLS. Yeah, tail end of his career, 32 years old, but it's another name that they brought in. So, good for the MLS, good for Orlando. They need it because they suck.
How much is he getting paid to be?
Those terms haven't come out yet. It'll probably be somewhere in the in the low millions, to say the least. But
is this one of those things where he's an actual free agent, or one of those like transfer trade kind of deals in between leagues?
I believe it's more of a transfer.
Okay.
See,
I don't know much, man, about
soccer. Yeah, no, I mean, you see, even those like transfer deals, they still somewhat get me sometimes.
Okay.
Because they are sort of like trades.
Right.
Right.
But teams are paying. It's just acquisitions. Teams are giving them money.
For them
to bring them in.
Gotcha.
Right. I mean, so it gets all weird, especially with the MLS, because they have like target allocation money and general allocation money. That it's just a whole bunch of.
Is there a salary cap in Major League Soccer?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's the financial aspects of Major League Soccer are just weird, dude.
They just extended their commissioner.
They did. Don Garber has done a really good job. Really good job. I like what he's done, especially with the expansion of the sport to the different cities.
Portland, Seattle.
I mean, you got some of the most like electric atmospheres like you'll encounter in sports in the United States. Like all jokes, like Seattle's awesome. Yeah. Portland is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. You've seen it because you've talked to me about the Red Bulls against Atlanta a few times.
Yeah.
The atmosphere in Atlanta, Evan, I'm not even joking, is insane.
Wow.
They hosted MLS Cup this year, and they won it, obviously. they had a bigger attendance than the Super Bowl this year.
Wow. Where, now, where it must have, was it in
Atlanta?
It was in Atlanta.
Is it in the same stadium?
Same stadium. Yeah. Wow.
Same stadium.
Bigger attendance than the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
The Cup Final had 73,000 in it.
Woo! Wow. How much does the Super Bowl have?
70.
Wow. Mm. So they beat him by 3,000. That's pretty amazing.
It's insane that just the atmospheres that they've been able to, you know, to bring up and stuff like that is just insane, especially like with rivalry games and whatnot. It gets pretty hectic, man. It gets crazy. Like, I went to a game last year, Red Bulls in New York City FC at Yankee Stadium. And they play like two or three times a year. I've gone to like every game except one. But that last one that I went to was the most insane out of all of them. Well, you felt like it was at Yankee Stadium. You feel Yankee Stadium going up and down like this.
What sure. atmosphere do you prefer, soccer, football, or hockey as a fan?
And football's out of the equation.
Really?
I don't like football atmospheres.
I agree with you.
Do not. Why? Because TV timeouts, boring. Mm. There's no fan interaction.
Barely.
You could see more on TV.
Yeah, you see more on TV.
I agree with that.
It's mostly about what you see on TV and the TV timeouts that are just absolutely boring.
And there's they really don't update on. You on the other games.
There's nothing going on. Like at least during halftime.
They'll update you on the games.
During halftime at soccer games, like they'll have like, you know, kids on the field playing, you know, you know, like 20-yard games, like they'll have nets on each side. You see the kids going back and forth.
Sure.
Or they'll have like, you know, shooting challenges and stuff like that. That's cool. Hockey, you see sometimes the challenge from center ice. You have the guy trying to squeeze it into that nice little, you know, square rectangular hole there.
Yeah.
You know, you see things like that. Football, they don't do any of that crap. So football atmospheres are so out of it. I can't even talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey and soccer atmospheres are somewhat alike. Especially during playoff time, because I went to Rangers Capitals a few years ago. I think it was game two.
Okay.
Insane, dude.
Yeah,
insane.
I know.
Insane. That atmosphere is ridiculous.
I'll have a heart attack just watching on my couch go, oh, God, here comes Ovechkin on a break. Hammer couldn't save. I knew that was coming.
Oh, my God, Ovechkin's at the top of the circle. No! Don't
let him shoot. Yeah. Never let him shoot.
That?
Someone just bear hug number eight.
Tackle him!
Slide tackle.
Clothesline.
But soccer games are super entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Soccer games are super, super, super entertaining. Always have you at the edge of your seat. Even though sometimes people knock it down because it ends in a 0-0 tie or ends in a 1-1 tie. Defensive battle, but there's chances on both ends of the field. Balls in the posts. Huge saves by the goalies. Nasty challenges. I mean, it's all fun and games.
Mm. So. I need to go to an MLS game.
I'll drag you along with me. Yeah, for sure. So, but baseball games are also fun too because they have the interactions on the boards. And,
yeah,
you know, like fan interactions. There's three hats. Where's the ball?
I get that right all the time.
You know, like you got stuff like that.
Baseball games are amazing. I know baseball gets a bad rap for being boring. But I don't care. I love it.
I love it.
I love going to it.
So we have a caller on the line, do we?
Yes, we do.
Hello, Mr. Phone Caller.
Hey, what's going on, Renee? It's Anthony Carrier.
What's up, Carrier? How's it going, brother?
Pretty good. I'm loving the conversation about atmospheres and sporting events. But as much as I agree, like, I've never been to a playoff hockey game, but I can imagine the atmosphere of a playoff hockey game.
And listen, let me tell you, the game that I went to was a 12 o'clock game, and dudes were already, like, blasted out of their minds.
Without a doubt, and I totally agree with football. I feel like the football atmosphere happens before the game.
The tailgate.
And when you go inside, you're just sitting there. Because I went to a wedding in Baltimore, and I was having a blast outside. And then when I went to my seat, now I'm just up there freezing for 3 hours to watch a Raven game that I didn't care about who won or lost.
My first game that I ever went to for a football game, Jets 49ers. Jets got blown out. Jets lost by 35, I think it was.
Oh, is this with Jim Harbaugh?
Yes.
As the coach?
Right.
That's when
was it Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick?
I don't remember who it was. What's his guy's name? I forgot his name, but he suffered a Lisfranc injury in that game. Santonio Holmes.
Oh, Santonio.
threw the ball up, brought it back. The defensive player brought it back for a touchdown. That's the game that the first game that I went to.
That's right.
No fun.
I remember that.
Everything, all the fun was on the outside. Beers, burgers, hot dogs, all that stuff.
I feel like I may just be biased because it's who I am, but I feel like the greatest atmosphere is playoff baseball.
Yeah.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
When I went to this wild card game recently against the A's, knew the A's were a great team. Everyone was on the edge of their seat, but oh my God, I didn't sit down. Beer was flying. Craziness.
I went to three.
Definitely like honorable mention.
I've been to three playoff baseball games all in the same year.
Oh yeah, no, I went to all last year, and I went to 2 years ago when they went to the ALCS. I went to each game series. Last year I went to the wild card, and then I went to the 16-1 blowout.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah, no, painful thing. The reason why I'm calling is I don't know if you guys saw or popped on your phones, but the NFL and Colin Kaepernick have come to an agreement.
We did see that. We were going to get to that at some point. I was just waiting for folks to get in, and he's
crazy.
Kaepernick wanted his
money. Did they come up with the numbers yet?
Confidentiality agreement. You'll never see those numbers. But the fact that Colin Kaepernick was asking for $20 million from the AAF to play, he definitely was just trying to get money, and he got his money out of the NFL. And now I can finally say, this is over.
Thank God.
Could comment on it that it was the biggest joke in sports history. That's what I'm going to say. It drove me nuts, and it was just the biggest black cloud over the NFL. And the quicker this can be laid to rest, great.
The better, because then we can start talking about it.
Great.
Oh, no, I agree. I saw it. I was like, thank God, because now he can shut up. And, I mean, whatever your stance is on it, like, to each their own. But now he could be quiet, and the NFL can move on, and we don't have to hear about it anymore. And we can just watch football for football.
Well, I don't think the thing is, though, he's still trying to work out for NFL teams.
He's not good.
As far as he's trying to do that, you're still going to see people say, hey, why sign Kaepernick? He's going to try to work out for jobs.
An average quarterback at best.
to be completely honest, he's better than a lot of the backup quarterbacks that are in the NFL nowadays.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I mean, like, Colin Kaepernick should have easily got a job way before Mark Sanchez.
But 100%.
And you could even argue he probably should have been given a second chance before a guy like Kareem Hunt was.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, do you want that, like, you know, that stigma on your team? Especially if you're, like, a young team, like the Chiefs are, with young Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt. Do you want that stigma kind of hanging over your head? No. But that's my take. I got to get going to work, but I figured I'd just chime in and call you guys up.
No problem, Anthony.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling the show, Anthony.
Take it easy, man.
Can't wait to hear you on Sunday about Elimination Chamber.
Oh, my God. Tune in, bro. Tune in.
We'll do.
Behind the Barricade on Sunday.
That's Plug. Anthony Carriger behind the Barricade Sundays here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. But, yeah, so he brought it up. We were going to talk about it later, but the NFL.
No, I'm going to do it now.
Might as well now.
It's fresh off the presses. Yeah. kind of came in just in the opening minutes here. But, I mean, look, I have no problem if the guy now gets a chance to play, because now that this whole grievance is over, there shouldn't be any issue with the team signing him. There will still be the drama, obviously, that comes with the media attention.
There will be.
But that's no different than the Browns signing Kareem Hunt. You're telling me, like, obviously the media attention is bigger around the Kaepernick story. But you're talking about a domestic violence case versus a guy who was fighting, I guess you'd say, civil rights situation.
Yes.
So
that's exactly what it is.
So you're telling me that if that's the reason you're not signing him now, when there's a grievance going on against the NFL, I get it. You don't want to be that team under the microscope.
Sure.
But now there's, in my eyes, a team like the Washington Redskins who doesn't have a quarterback going into this season, there's no excuse for them not to at least take a look.
Yes.
You know?
It would be crazy, but that's the thing. Like you said, Or was it Anthony that said, Mark Sanchez got an opportunity over this guy. Mark Sanchez sucks. Mark Sanchez has been on how many teams since he left the Jets?
He was in Dallas and Philly.
Chicago. Philly. Washington.
And he got a PED suspension.
Exactly. He lasted, a quarter and a half maybe with the Washington Redskins before he got yanked out? I mean, how bad is this guy? Do teams really think Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve that much of a chance?
I think he deserves a shot. He does.
A lot of it goes back to of teams, and this is how I felt when it first happened, the whole everything from kneeling which I understand the message they were trying to send.
I agree.
Whether I agree with it or not, I'm not going to get into on this show. I'm not going to go into the politics of whether I agree with it or not.
Sure.
Never really but, should.
No, I mean, we can if we want, but that just it's, touches it's, such a... It's a, you know, that
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, which I'd rather not get into. I'd rather not even touch with a 1,000-foot pole, you know?
1,000 agree with you.
But a lot of teams, I think, looked at, even when this started happening, he was on a downward
spiral
in his career in terms of his play.
It kind
of
went down real fast.
Real fast. He had a quick drop-off from where he was this mobile quarterback who teams hadn't figured out, and he was able to make a bunch of plays and got his team to a Super Bowl. I mean, there's to be said to that. He has that. He won the NFC Championship game, got his team all the way to the
Three
Super Bowl.
Three straight NFC title games.
Yeah.
No, two straight. Two seconds. 2011 was Alex Smith. Yes, mm-hmm. I forgot about
that. I have a message from the NFL Players Association that they put out after this, the news of Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Right. Today we were informed by the NFL of the settlement of the Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid collusion cases. We are not privy to the details of the settlement, but support the decision by the players and their counsel. We continuously supported Colin and Eric from the start of their protest, participated with their lawyers throughout their legal proceedings, and were prepared to participate in the upcoming trial in pursuit of both truth and justice for what we believe the NFL and its clubs did to them. Excuse me. We are glad that Eric has
Eric
earned
Reed
a job.
Got signed.
Three-year extension, yes.
Yeah. We are glad that Eric has earned a job and a new contract, and we continue to hope that Colin gets his opportunity as well.
But Eric is good. Eric Reed's a good player.
Yes.
I know what I'm about to say might rub people the wrong way, but he likes to put a target on his own back.
Eric Reed?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That's why you remember the whole thing with Malcolm Jenkins at midfield this year?
Yes.
He likes to create that kind of attention. He knew once he got signed he was going to be able to create that conversation.
And he kept saying about how, I'm getting drug tested, but it wasn't even real. It came
he
out
was
to
lying.
Light that he got drug tested.
He was lying. He was lying about it. So, like, what does that lead you to believe that's been going on this whole time? That's why I get back to he started this whole thing when he sucked.
Yeah.
And I think teams saw that. They were like, what is this guy just doing this because he sucks now and he's benched? Like, I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to get deep into it, but the guy wasn't playing for a reason. He sucked. Like, he was playing terrible. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the league at a point. So they got him off the field. And then when you add baggage to that, guys don't get another chance. And while we're talking about, Kareem Hunt got a chance. Different position, man. It's the running back position.
Age two,
but different position. There's always you're not just playing with one running back. You
General
need two
manager.
Or three running backs.
General manager.
Also, it comes down. Eric Reed plays the safety position. Yeah. It's not like this position is going to be under the microscope the entire time. If Colin Kaepernick is your quarterback, he's the face of your franchise. He's literally the image that everyone associates with your franchise. So when that was the point where it was baggage on top of he's not playing well, why would you sign him?
To me, before we get to the caller, I know we have him on the line. To me, the Colin Kaepernick situation is, do teams really believe that he doesn't deserve a chance? I mean, he's far and above better than some of the backups that are in the league right now. I think he deserves a chance to at least earn a spot on a team. Doesn't matter my stance, like you said, doesn't matter my stance mm-hmm. on what happened with that situation with Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. I'm not including that.
Sure.
I'm just talking about it on his talent and his ability to play the game. He did it.
He should have immediately gotten another chance.
That's my point.
He should have immediately gotten another chance, but it is to be said, did his stance, and he'll probably tell I don't regret any of it because he was making a stance. But the stance he made was the reason he didn't get signed. And I think that's part of his argument.
100%.
I think that's the argument. But because while he was bad, he probably did deserve a chance to get signed. We saw guys like RG3 get other chances elsewhere to go
play.
Mark Sanchez.
What's his guy's
we
name?
Saw Brandon Whedon on 10 different teams. Sam Bradford goes from place to place. Ryan Fitzpatrick, for Christ's sake. Like, and Kaepernick has played at a higher level than these guys at one point.
I'll say
His low was very low. That's where it kind of gave the – I don't want to say it made an excuse for NFL teams not to sign him, but it made him easier to say no. Yeah. And the more time that went – between him leaving the 49ers or being released by the 49ers to now, makes it so much harder for that team to stick their neck out. I'm like, yeah, I'll sign him.
Yeah, 100%.
I think out on the field with Kaepernick, he did finish that 2016 season pretty strongly. He did. And I think, the biggest problem is he's now been off the field for 2 years.
Yeah, that's why. How are you going to expect him to pick that up from there?
2 years now he's been off the field.
All right, so we have a caller on the line. We apologize for holding you so long, but.
No, it's a good conversation, man. It's a good conversation.
What's up, man? How you doing? It's been a while.
Listen, beyond the. And we get it. Fogarty thinks Kaepernick stinks, right? But take the fact. Take his talent level or take whether you think he deserves a spot or doesn't deserve a spot out of this, right? Do you know how hard it is to prove that you were blackballed in the NFL? Like, I think this is a sneaky big deal because the agreement is confidential, right? So why would the NFL pay Kaepernick and Eric Reid for something that is impossible to prove unless they found something?
They had to have found something.
It makes me wonder why he can't say anything. If they agreed to confidentiality,
he can't say nothing.
Reed can't say nothing. But
that's a good point by Jeff. I mean, why pay out if...
What they're going to pay is exorbitantly more than they would pay in lawyers just to get this to go away.
I agree. I would agree. I would agree with that 100%. Because at this point, you're pretty much paying somebody to hush up, in a sense.
Yeah,
because
pretty much what is a settlement? An admission of guilt.
Yeah. It's pretty much an admission of guilt. Yeah.
That's what it is.
I mean, it's so hard to prove. It would have been so impossible for Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick to prove that they were blackballed, right? Why wouldn't the NFL fight that? That is such a dirty charge to have against your league, unless they found something that they're saying, now you have to be, we're going to pay you, now be quiet about what you found, what would have been the point of paying them?
And these boys got paid. I'm sure they got paid.
I'm assuming they
too.
Got paid handsomely.
Handsomely. I mean, that's a great point by Jeff. 100%. I mean, what do you say, Big Mike?
I don't want to get all political, but...
No, definitely not. You know,
I've always viewed whatever Colin Kaepernick does. I didn't care that he kneeled on the field. I really didn't care. I know other people were offended by it.
Yeah, I feel differently.
Right.
Everybody has their own opinion.
Mm-hmm. But there were times where they had said, oh, he's going to work out for the Seahawks. And then the Seahawks pushed back
plugged
and said,
out. Yeah.
You know, so that made me wonder, okay, maybe there is something going on here more along the lines of,
yeah.
They don't want him
was,
on the field.
I think there was more teams than just the Seahawks.
It was
too.
The Ravens, I think, too. I think Houston, the Ravens talked about it.
Houston, I believe, was involved.
But
too.
It makes you almost Flacco think that they this. That was part of the collusion where it was, okay, put this out there that we're thinking about it and then pull it back.
Right. And to your point, he was better than a lot of backups. And you can make the case maybe he was better than certain starters, too. Who'd you rather have, Colin Kaepernick or Blake Bortles?
I'd be honest with you, I'd rather have Colin
at
Kaepernick.
At this point?
Colin Kaepernick can make throws.
Well, no, I'm talking about when this first started.
Like anyone that says Blake Bortles is a moron.
I mean, the Jaguars said yes to Blake Bortles for 4 more years.
Isn't it incredible that Blake Bortles has gotten as much money and arranged and like kept his career going as long as he has when he sucks?
It's sickening.
He's
dude.
Awful.
It really is sickening.
Oh man.
I'd rather have Alex Smith's shattered leg play quarterback than Blake Bortles.
Oh, too soon, but I love it.
Okay.
I agree with that though.
Switching gears here.
And we also talk about second chances. Look at where Jeff is. He's down in Tampa. Jameis Winston. How many chances is Jameis Winston going to get?
Yeah, that's different, though. That's different. I mean, he stole some crab legs, and, you know, I mean, that's...
Nah, but what he did to the Uber driver. What he did to the Uber driver was kind of disgusting in a sense.
Right, but everyone's like, listen, okay, that's deplorable. Like, that's just horrible. That's a horrible way to behave. We all know that. But dude, don't be naive to the whole thing. Age and talent play a level in how much people are going to forgive you.
Oh, 100%. I understand that.
That's the example like we made with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Oh, I know. The age makes a difference. I was just going with a quarterback who I think was, you know, similar.
But Colin Kaepernick was still young when he
started.
When he pretty much found his way out of the league. Yeah, it's been 2 years removed, but he's still sort of there in age. You have guys that are 40 playing quarterback right now. Yeah, I mean, I understand their talent is through the roof better than Colin
don't
Kaepernick.
Knock the 40-year-old quarterbacks. Whoever just did that, don't do that because the 40-year-old just won a Super Bowl.
No,
get
that's,
out of
no,
here,
that, no, that's what I'm saying. The 40-year-old quarterback. His talent level eclipses Colin Kaepernick. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but also look at the guys who have played quarterback over 40. Pocket passers. Brady's a pocket passer. Brees is a pocket passer. Colin Kaepernick would not play his career to 40 years old the way he played the position.
True.
You don't even need to look that deep because you guys hit it on the head before. You can look at Mark Sanchez getting a shot. You can look at RG3 getting a shot. Blake Bortles is – you could – Dude, listen, if you wanted to go through the quarterbacks and start naming...
Hey, I could be the first one to say it for my team. The Cowboys' backup is Cooper Rush.
Who's the guy that ultimately ended up with the Washington job?
Yeah.
Josh Johnson.
Dude, he's garbage.
Dude, he used to pitch for the Marlins.
Dude, Josh Johnson was garbage 6 years ago.
Exactly.
And then he was still in the league.
I didn't know he played.
Dude, he learned his teammates' names from playing Madden.
I was absolutely shocked to see Josh Johnson on the
field. That's the point. Josh gets an opportunity. Mark Sanchez gets an opportunity.
How about a guy like just throwing out these names, these retread quarterbacks? How many times did we see a Charlie Whitehurst like a couple of years ago?
Geno Smith.
Colt McCoy.
Brock Osweiler.
Well, that's
Matt Leinart. No, I'm just kidding.
But you do have those rare examples of terrible quarterbacks that are effective. Look at, like, Garrett Anderson in Carolina.
Yeah.
He manages to come off the bench and be pretty decent.
Kirk Cousins made a career out of being terrible.
Yeah, no,
look
no,
at the money
no,
he's
no,
on
I
himself.
Wouldn't say that either.
Look at Josh McCown. Josh McCown has been through every literal team.
Look at Kirk Cousins' record versus teams with a above 500 record.
He's under 500.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
But you got to put an asterisk next to that because he's also fighting against his owner is Dan Snyder. So you got to put an asterisk next to that record because Dan Snyder could mess up a wet dream, bro.
Yeah, but then what's the excuse for him in Minnesota this year? Good. I don't know. I'm a Kirk Cousins hater, so that was the only reason why I threw him out there.
Division round.
I think he stinks.
Listen, he won a lot of key games and a lot of big spots. So I think people crapping on Kirk Cousins is just, because there are always glitches in the system. Do you realize Aaron Rodgers has never had a come from behind win against a team above 500?
Really?
Really?
Interesting.
Stats.
He's never had a comeback. He's never beaten a team when he's had a one-point deficit against a team with a 500 or better record.
Interesting.
So there's always glitches in the system. So this is why I'm saying, like, you know, the Kirk Cousins number you just threw out is ridiculous because I can point to the you like that game, and he was terrific.
I mean, that's the reason why he went out there and said, you like that? You like that? Jeff, we got to go to break. You got anything else to say real quick?
Nah, I'm just missing Boccioni and his dad jeans today.
check back with us in like a week and a half.
He's going to be wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt and cargo shorts on the beach. Shit. That's
tan.
Look.
Tan is all tan.
He said Tommy Bahama.
Yep. He's gonna be that guy. Oh, who's this 50-year-old? Oh, he's 23.
With the shades.
Why is he listening to Jimmy Buffett? I have no idea.
In a bucket hat. Jeff, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
You have to love Boccioni for one reason, right? Like, he definitely dresses like that picture of your grandfather when your grandfather was young. Right. Like, you ever been in your grandparents' house and been like, wow, this is an old picture? And then
we
like,
just got to get in one of those old, like, sock caps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First, like, I like want the Great one Depression hat.
I want one of those. Yeah. I want one of those. Those are nice hats.
You could just, like, Photoshop his face over that painting of the American Gothic.
Goodbye, man. Have a good one, Jeff.
All right, boys.
What a way to end that one. That's Jeff from Tampa.
Please join us at the Chalk Talk Art Gallery to see the Jimmy Boccioni collection.
To your right.
We'll just have all paintings of Jimmy on altered paintings from this one to the two. What's American Gothic's the two people.
And then you see him with the Smalls hat from the Sandlot.
With the fish brim.
The Mona Lisa. No, the Mona Lisa. The Mona Boccioni.
The Mona Boccioni.
Oh, man. With that being said, we're going to go to break, our very first break here of the day. When we come back, we'll get into some baseball. As you guys heard,
baseball.
The collusion case with the NFL and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid has been settled. The amount never going to be announced.
$1 billion.
So that being said, we'll be back.
Bye, guys. It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
As Fogarty's flopping his hair around.
I don't have as much anymore. It's been weird.
You still got it.
Oh, yeah.
Going
I have
there.
To have something.
Yeah, you do.
With that being said, you're hearing our voices again because we're back from break. This is Chalk Talk here on the Worldwide Sports Radio.
We probably also heard Fogarty's burp before we went off the air.
I had to get it in there.
What we were talking about before the break, the NFL and Colin Kaepernick, that situation has been settled. According to Mike Freeman, he's an NFL columnist for Bleacher Report. A number of NFL team officials are speculating to me is that the NFL paid Kaepernick in the $60 to $80 million range. The reason why that's being speculated is because teams eventually will know because they'll have to kick in
money.
Each team will have to give in something.
I would love to see Jerry Jones' reaction to this.
What?
Oh my god!
$60 to $80 million.
I take what my Freeman says with a grain of salt, but
hey,
$60 to $80 million.
Dude just got paid. Paid.
It's not like he hasn't been getting paid, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
He's a Nike spokesperson.
Yeah. Actually, just see what happened in a Colorado.
I thought it was Wisconsin.
Was it Wisconsin? It was a state.
Hello, Wisconsin.
His store closed down. It was a store that boycotted Kaepernick's store.
Yeah. Oh no. It was Colorado. I'm thinking of something different.
That was Colorado. A store that boycotted Nike products.
Yeah, because Kaepernick
ended up having to close because they couldn't sell anything. Right.
Well, no, in Wisconsin, there was a museum dedicated to.
A dummy.
Right?
Come on, you got to make a living.
Everyone buys Nike. We know any store you go into, it's like, oh,
dude,
Adidas. Where's the Nike section? Yeah, like that's right. Just what happens, man.
It's a work, dude. It's a work shirt. It's a work shirt, and it's Nike. Like, come on.
The swoosh is almighty.
The swoosh is almighty.
I never noticed that. That's a Nike shirt. I never noticed that.
It is. It's very comfortable.
In Wisconsin, there was a museum.
Dry fit?
Yeah, actually, dude.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
It's not like Adidas where it's climate cool, but it's dry fit. Yeah.
In Wisconsin, there was a museum
dedicated
with Black History Month. There was a whole section on Kaepernick, and I forgot who it was, but someone asked them to take away his part from the museum, and they did it.
Really?
They asked, wait,
was
they...
it a... Wait, so a person asked them to
a
take it away?
A person asked to take away... the section on Colin Kaepernick. I think it was someone in the government who asked for it.
And they did it?
Because
I would say,
we'll have to really look that up.
I'm going to go.
Let me see. Whether you like it or not, that is a part of the history. That it's a part. It's a part of it. And it should. And you know what? It is a part of our history. It's everybody. Please that up.
Whatever. Moving on from that situation. We're going from serious news to some good news. If you're a Yankees fan, the New York Yankees have agreed to terms with Luis Severino on a 4-year, $40 million, extension in some sorts. Contract.
It's an extension.
Yeah, an extension. He was in the middle of arbitration with the New York Yankees. So they lock him down. They give him his money for the next few years. Content Luis Severino. Could mean great things for the New York Yankees going into the season. Maybe his head's on right this year, and
we'll find out.
We'll find out. Did you get the numbers for that?
I got them from Jeff Passan of ESPN. The deal is a max $52.25 million.
Nice.
Talk about getting paid.
Yep.
Got paid.
Breakdown of the deal again per Jeff Passan: $4 million plus a $2 million bonus for this year, 2020, next year $10 million. 2021, $10.25 million. 2022, $11 million. 2023 will be a club option, $15 million with a $2.75 million buyout. He continues by saying an interesting part of that is higher salaries in 2020, 2021, lower than usual in 2022. Why? The protection against the work stoppage. That's most likely coming up.
The CBA ends in what, 2021?
2021, something like that, I think.
Yeah.
That thing is coming up.
Mike, you want to say that one more time?
What?
Dude got paid. Good news. That's good news for the Yankees, though. They shore up their quote unquote ace.
He will hit the open market at 29 years old if they do exercise that $15 million option.
I mean, what? I mean, you pretty much have him literally right smack in the prime of his career.
Yes, I agree with that. And right where the window is for the Yankees to win a title. That's the window.
You're shaking your head.
Why? I have reservations on Luis Severino.
He's not that good.
Well,
I don't know about all that.
Which
Severino? He's not Jacob DeGrom. I know that. No,
damn right he ain't.
But which one? Which Luis Severino are you getting? The first half where he looked like the Cy Young, or the second half where he, you know, looked like me pitching out there.
I'll get back to that.
Two-Face.
I'll get back to that. Yeah, I know he's not as good as Jacob DeGrom.
He is Two-Face. He is Harvey Dent.
You guys got to be careful. Might as well pay your guy before he comes over to the Bronx.
Start a GoFundMe page for Jacob DeGrom before I let him go to the Bronx.
Do it. A lot of things have happened. But
that goes into, like, it kind of, like,
Severino needs the coin.
Flip it. All right, take it easy there, Harvey Dent. Take it easy,
it's
Harvey
Dent. True justice for the New York Yankees. It's tails. It's bad heads. It was bad heads. It was bad heads.
Take it easy, Harvey Dent.
No, but it does kind of open the conversation for the Mets of, can you get DeGrom done already? Mm. Where we look at a team like the Yankees, who just has no problem blowing past the luxury tax and incurring a penalty.
And your division rival.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back, I found Jeff Passan had an article talking about teams not spending, and it literally is like the epitome of what Met fans should be angry about. Not to get away from the Severino signing, because I think the Yankees...
I think it goes hand in hand.
I think the Yankees did the right thing by locking down their guy. Absolutely. It shows that they think he's their guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be their ace.
And like I said, it's in that window.
Yeah, they're making sure he's locked up for that and he's happy. Mm-hmm. DeGrom's already 30 years old and he wants to get paid. And the Mets aren't willing to pay him for what reason?
When we look at it, this is
from Passan's article. I just want to read this. And this goes to all free agency, but I think it relates directly to the Mets and their spending. Right. 60% of baseball teams are carrying payrolls $50 million below the $206 million luxury tax threshold. Just shy of half the teams in the game are $75 million below. 8 teams are more than $100 million under the threshold. More than a quarter of the game isn't even spending half of what it can before incurring a penalty that barely penalizes anyway. It's only one thing for the highest spending teams not to exceed the luxury tax. It's another for teams that receive tens of millions in revenue sharing dollars to practically sit out off seasons. And then you question the Mets even waiting to sign Jacob DeGrom when the Yankees have been over that luxury tax for years. And this was maybe the first offseason where they were under it. And what'd they do? We're going to spend. Who cares if we go over it? We're going to spend.
Well, once you get under it, obviously.
Yeah, but how long have they been over it for? And they didn't care.
Well, it's not that they didn't care. It's just
they're gonna pay it. Who cares? We'll pay it. We're gonna make this money up anyway.
The Red Sox were like $100 million over.
They don't care. You're paying a tax. Who cares?
Right.
Like
they didn't give a dirt.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, we can't.
All they want to do is win.
Sounds like Gabriel Iglesias.
That's the point. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. No, but the Mets can't just. It's just. You see how two different teams do business. The Yankees, who are that team that's always there, always in on the top free agents, always takes care of their guys, gets them paid. When was the last time you heard a situation with the Yankees where it was like, oh, they need to pay him?
Even if the Yankees,
Even
if the Yankees weren't necessarily in a free agent, in a situation to lure a free agent, they were always thrown in there. Why? Because they're the Yankees. Exactly. Oh, the Yankees have always been a team that they strike when no one expects it.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo Stanton in that deal with the Marlins.
Exactly.
Out of
nowhere.
No one
thought they had any business doing
literally
that.
Literally done like that overnight.
And it's like, how dare you even entertain it with that contract? The Yankees don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
But they're going to have to pay. This is a good first step to get Severino out of the way because they got to pay Aaron Judge.
They got to pay Gary Sanchez.
Well, if Gary Sanchez is the catcher they think he is.
Gary Sanchez will be with this team.
You
got
to pay Gleyber Torres soon. You're going to have to pay Miguel Andujar.
No, Gleyber Torres still my point is, you will
have to open the wallets for them.
No, of course.
Didi Gregorius will be a free agent, and if Manny ain't coming to town, you're going to have to pay Didi Gregorius, you're going to have to pay him.
Dude, I don't mind paying Didi Gregorius.
Is Paxton signed? He's signed.
Didi Gregorius.
Betances is a free agent.
Is a really good shortstop. I do not mind Didi Gregorius being my shortstop for years and years to come.
But Tance is a free agent. Good.
Unless you get Manny Machado.
What?
Unless you get Manny Machado.
I've been here to say, I've said this countless times. I never necessarily wanted Manny Machado. If the Yankees get Manny Machado, that's fine. That's cool. You know? You find that's a way. Cool. But, I mean.
Must be nice. You know, the Mets fans are
that'd be cool.
That's like the whole point.
Dylan Betances
for you,
is
it's
free
just,
agent.
Yeah, it's cool. If we get Manny Machado, cool. Cool. For the Mets, it's. Oh my God!
They signed someone.
Did they talk about possibly even thinking about possibly entertaining opening thoughts to possibly think about
possibly.
Thinking about Wilpon Machado?
Wilpon definitely shut that down. 100%. I bet you Brody went to him and said, "Hey, how about kicking the tires?" I meant no. Sorry,
that's actually funny. What. No, no, really. Actually, that's apparently what happened.
We
it's stupid.
We know what the coupons do. We I know like what the that coupons.
Was good.
Fred doesn't want to pay. Fred didn't want to pay
but
Harper $300 million.
How stupid can you be to not want to go after one of the biggest free agents out there?
The last major.
It's stupid.
The last major free agent the Mets had who had a major impact.
Johan?
No, I would say it was Carlos Beltran.
Oh, yeah. Johan didn't.
Well, Johan was a trade.
Johan was a trade.
Johan was a trade, but Johan he was after
was
anyway.
He was a trade?
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was a contract. Oh, no. So Carlos Beltran.
He was a trade. You know, and then you go forward. They did the Jason Bay deal, which no one wants to.
I'll tell you what. Guido has a great story about Jason Bay. And I don't know if he's
how his greatest moment as a Met was a walk-off hit against the guy who got 100% of the vote going into the Hall
of
Fame.
That's also true. No, but he's got a great story.
Leave Jason Bay alone. He's a Canadian Baseball Hall of Famer.
That's great, by the way. He was
is he really?
Yeah, he got inducted like 2 weeks ago.
That's god-awful.
Guido was sitting in the stands, and they were booing Jason Bay. And this is at Citi Field, I think. And Jason Bay kind of looks at the crowd, and he goes, "Shh!" He just shushes the crowd, which is a great start.
Yeah, I'll never forget.
Welcome to New York, dude.
I was at Jason Bay bobblehead day, and Jerry Manuel, who was manager at the time, didn't even have him in the lineup on his own bobblehead day.
That's kind of funny.
It sounds like a Met thing to do.
It was such a Met thing to do.
This is the team that sold Jerry Blevins socks. We've talked about
this. But they were generic Met socks.
They were just Met socks that they said Jerry Blevins sock day.
Oh, dude, man. You were better off having Jerry Seinfeld sock day.
Honestly.
Brooklyn Cyclones have Seinfeld night, which
I
went to
sick.
This past year.
Which
I
awesome.
Went to that this past year. It was awesome.
I got to play in that stadium in college.
Oh,
it was
that's
so
awesome.
Cool.
They let it field?
No, no. The Cyclones. What is it?
MCU Park.
They let us use the clubhouse and everything.
That's
we got
awesome.
To use the lockers and the locker room.
Did you get
room.
To ride the Cyclone?
We didn't, but it was actually, you know, since we're not a professional game going on, we're just a college game.
Right.
They didn't. They shut down the park. Not shut down the park, but like they have the stadium music that drowns out the music from the park, and they'll shut out the music that's right over the fence.
Right.
They didn't do that for us.
So you had the rides going on.
Yeah, the rides going on, and it's just music playing, and I'm standing in center field, like 350 feet away, just like. I can't focus. But it was a real cool experience playing that ballpark.
Folks,
especially
go deep. I can't right now.
I'm kind of jamming right
go
now.
Go shallow. Come in. I can't.
Especially because it's cool playing in the stadium, and you look up in the rafters, and you see the retired numbers of Reyes,
yeah.
Conforto. Angel Pagan was up there. Just the guys that have played for the Brooklyn Cyclones. It was cool.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience.
Soccer team actually played at that stadium.
Angel Pagan.
He did, right?
Legend.
I liked Angel Pagan as the Met.
Yeah.
I did too.
He was not bad.
Yeah, he was
a good player.
He
fiery
really
player.
Was.
Hard nose.
Yeah.
Hard nose player.
I actually liked him when he
was
on the Giants.
Had a decent career with the Giants too. He was a good player for the Giants.
I thought so. He made some unbelievable catches in center field with
the
Giants.
Player.
Yeah.
Good player.
100%.
He had that issue where he played behind Beltran.
Yeah.
So he didn't get many opportunities
for
the Mets.
That was the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he played for the Mets, he was awesome.
Yeah,
he
was really
good.
Yeah.
He was a very good player.
Beltran found his way over.
Another one of those guys on the Mets that was a role player and went somewhere else to become a piece.
Justin Turner.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that bites me in the butt.
Oh, that's
the one
that
bites me in the butt.
Oh, but come on. The year before we DFA'd Justin Turner, he was literally batting good. .210 with 3 home runs, batting third in September.
I like Justin Turner.
It's funny what a little money does for you.
They
I
said
like
literally
Turner.
It was that offseason he was working out with Marlon Byrd, and he figured out how to hit the ball in front of the plate.
He figured out Byrd was the word.
All right, so.
Marlon Byrd used steroids.
Oh, Okay.
Poor Marlowe. He did.
True.
All right. Accusations. All right.
That's not accusations. He tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
He did fail.
Marlon freaking Bird. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, the start of the 3 o'clock
wow,
hour.
Look at Daniel Murphy. Oh, my God.
Dude, he's going to rake in Colorado.
Yes, he is.
What, Murphy? What, they showed Murphy just now?
Yeah, he looks like he hasn't shaved or gotten a haircut in, like, maybe since the 2015 World Series.
That's just the atmosphere of Colorado nowadays.
He's going to be so awesome in Colorado.
Mountain man.
I feel like Murph's going to be really relaxed in Colorado. You know? Like, I feel like he's just going to be able to find something to mellow him out.
He's going to walk around and he's going to find a store where he can find himself a little, you know, a little kickback.
That seems like Daniel Murphy. That's up his alley.
He's gonna go down and have himself a time. Friendly faces everywhere. Nothing temptations.
Coming on down to Coors Field, hitting home runs everywhere.
You're gonna hear him coming.
Jam shots turn into doubles.
Dude, relax.
Calm down. I'm going to the plate now,
dude,
man.
Dude, relax. I'm gonna hit you a home run right here, bro.
Ball to the left center field gap.
Daniel Murphy, you're due for drug testing.
Dude.
Give me like 3 hours, man.
Just give me a minute. I gotta go do something. Dude, I gotta pee first, bro.
That's funny. That's not saying that's something Daniel Murphy does. No. We're just having fun here.
Not at all.
But it makes me think of like the Ricky Williams thing before we go to break. The newspaper article. I failed my drug test and got high and forgot I wasn't supposed to get high.
I love it.
Those were fond memories.
Ricky Williams.
Is that really what the headline said?
I swear to God, I'll find it during break. His quote literally, I got high and forgot I wasn't supposed to get high.
Got a break. We'll be back here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Oh, you really got
the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Junk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Worldwide.
3 o'clock hour has begun here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. This is Chalk Talk. I'm Renee Canales, and I'm joined in the studio by John Folks Fogarty, straight ahead, Evan Mazza to my right, and somewhere in far, far away land over there is Big Mike Rifkin, our producer.
In a land before time, man.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Guys, guess what happened last night?
Someone did the electric slide.
I told you the Hawks are really good.
The Knicks ended their losing streak.
The Hawks are really good.
Longest losing streak in franchise history, which was 18. The Knicks blew out the Hawks last night.
It's over.
A Hawks team that beat the Lakers just, what was it, this week?
Yes.
The Hawks are good, man.
My favorite thing of that Hawks-Lakers game.
Why are we talking about the Lakers?
Hold on, because I didn't watch the Knicks game because it's not worth it. Was the Hawks fans chanting that Kobe's better when LeBron was at the line?
They're not wrong.
I agree with them. I just found it funny.
I just think it's cool that the Knicks finally got a win. It's been a while. January 4th was the last.
There's one and only one positive that can come out of LeBron going to the Lakers and it going as bad as it's going. It just cements Kobe's legacy. It really does.
Kobe did have better talent around him. Pau Gasol, Derek Fisher, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest.
Meta World Peace sucked.
I don't care. I love that name.
He sucked.
Shaq, of course.
Shaq.
I mean, I understand your point.
He played Shaq Fu.
He did.
He did Shaq Fu for a while.
What an interesting turn of events.
Thank you.
The last Knicks win.
Was against the Lakers?
Yeah.
Was forever ago.
January 4th against the Lakers in L.A.
Oh.
but LeBron was not in the LeBron
I don't
was
care.
Not playing.
I don't,
LeBron was
I
not
don't
playing.
Care.
I don't
I
care.
I don't care.
119-112 was the last win the Knicks had. They went on an 18-game losing streak. That's god-awful. It's finally over right before the All-Star break.
And they traded Porzingis in the middle of that.
Yeah, and whatever.
They kind of fizzed out, man.
They did fizz out.
God, you are on a roll today.
I am on a roll.
You are on a roll.
So I who's know, coming dude. Up next for the Knicks after this stupendous, miraculous win against the Atlanta Hawks?
All right,
so after the All-Star break, the Minnesota. Last four games in February, Minnesota.
That's winnable.
At home.
Okay.
The Spurs.
In San Antonio or at the Garden?
At the Garden. Orlando.
Winnable.
At the Garden. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
In Cleveland?
At the Garden.
At the Garden.
Just lost to the Cavs, so I can't say anything.
Got terrible. And then they go on another Western road trip. Face the Clippers, the Kings, the Suns, and the... And
okay. Here's my whole issue with how the NBA does their schedule. If you're playing...
Why not go on just one full-blown Western Western trip?
Because if you're playing the Lakers at Staples anyway, play the Clippers the same time.
Play the freaking Clippers the next day.
The Clippers?
The Clippers.
The Clippers.
Play the freaking Clippers.
I'm sure you feel the same way about the Lakers coming east.
I agree. Especially because it seems like they do that quite frequently. Yeah. Well, I was saying it's tough. You can't just put a team on the West Coast or East Coast and keep them there for mad long, too. Mm-hmm. That's the problem is you got to worry about other teams and other schedules and making it work, where if they did that, you could have a team that ends up on the East Coast away from home for 2 weeks at a time, a week and a half at a time. And they don't want to keep these guys home all that long.
It makes sense. I mean, you have, like, what, 30?
These guys have other lives, too.
They have 30, they have 30 teams. You have to, sort of work with it. But it makes no sense. You're going on two Western trips. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
You play the Trailblazers, the Kings, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns.
Warriors.
The Warriors. I mean,
when you go to Texas, you're usually playing all three at once.
It's like in hockey.
Yeah.
But hockey's a little different because they have Canadian teams.
Right. When you go to Western Canada, you're playing the Oilers, the Flames, or the Canucks.
Exactly.
Now Winnipeg.
And then you also have the
American
Western
trip.
Yeah, California trip. You play the Ducks, the Sharks, and the Kings.
The Coyotes.
All in one
Vegas,
swing.
Vegas, yeah.
But whatever. Yeah, so the Knicks finally win a game. Finally. Playoffs, baby. Playoffs. Dude, coming for that 8 seed.
Now they're not going to be able to draft Zion.
Well, Chicago won the other day, right?
The Bears won?
I didn't realize. The Bears won a lot of games this past year, and they're going to win a lot more games. The Bears will win a Super Bowl within the next 3 years. They will. They will. I'm dead serious. That's a solid football team. No, but the Bulls won the other day, which actually helped the Knicks' draft chances, I believe, right?
Right now, it's the Knicks, the Suns, and
the Bulls.
Cleveland.
Yeah, but you just have to be in the final three. Everyone in the bottom
three. The bottom three have a 14% chance each due to the new rules of the NBA draft lottery. Before, it used to be, what was it, 25% chance that the bottom-seeded team had? Now it's 14 each. Of the bottom three teams.
Hawks, too, I guess? Are they?
No, the Hawks are still in fifth.
They're fifth.
They're
okay.
Fifth position right now in the NBA draft.
Because I just saw the ticker.
But anyways, I just wanted to sprinkle.
It's Phoenix, the Knicks, and Cleveland.
Yeah.
Phoenix is actually the worst record in the league right now.
Yes.
They have one more loss to the Knicks. They played one more game.
Yeah. Whatever, I don't really care.
You want to segue that into the All-Star game?
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. I just want to talk about storylines a little bit about the All-Star break. Well, now especially that New Orleans fired their GM. Del Demps is now
Maybe if he would have traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers, he would have still had his job.
Maybe if he didn't ask for an entire roster in the future for Anthony Davis and maybe one more player.
Serves him right.
Well, David Stern apparently said this summer that he was a bad general manager.
Serves him right.
He would have been fired either way because...
Well, what is with David Stern and protecting that franchise so much? They were also the franchise that was formerly the Hornets, and David Stern made sure that Chris Paul didn't go to the Lakers.
I can't answer that.
I think the NBA was in control of the Hornets before they were bought.
By Tom Benson. Tom Benson.
I think that's what it was.
I want my toys.
But did you see that Anthony Davis left the arena yesterday?
Oh yeah,
midway through the game, he hurt his shoulder.
Uh huh.
But he left the arena, I guess, to go get checked out
with his agent.
With his agent, and the owner was pissed. Then he goes ahead and fires the GM.
She.
Excuse me. Yes.
Yes, Gail Benson.
Yes, because
widow of Tom Benson.
Yes.
So wait, he got hurt and left. He didn't get checked out by the medical team. He left the arena. With his agent.
With his agent.
That's what he was protecting. Did he tell the team he was leaving?
No.
No, he just walked out.
He just bolted out.
And I think he don't trust.
I think he walked past the GM at that very moment.
That means there's some kind of level of distrust where he's saying, I'm not going to let their team doctors look at me. I'm going to go get looked at by my own doctor.
But here's the other thing.
It's also probably his free agency.
Well,
he's protecting his value.
He doesn't want them coming in and their doctor doing something to kind of either one,
keep him off the court because he said he wants to play right now.
Right.
And the Pelicans at this point, they're trying to move him. They could easily say, "Ooh, yeah, we're gonna shut you down now for a month." And that's why he's saying, "I'm gonna go checked out by my own doctor. Let them check me and come back."
The NBA told the Pelicans, "You better watch out. We're gonna start fining you for each game that he misses."
Right.
Because of the fact that they wanted to, he was healthy enough to play, but he wasn't playing. So they, because of the whole rest situation with the Spurs and Popovich, how he was resting Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili in all those games, that situation arises again with Anthony Davis. So the NBA sort of threatened the Pelicans and saying, you better play this guy if he's healthy. If you're not playing him and he's healthy, we're fining you.
Couldn't they just limit his minutes, the Pelicans?
Sure, but, you know, I think that's what they're trying to do. But here's what I think on the whole thing. And I'll ask you guys. Should he, because we don't know right now, this Sunday's the All-Star game.
Yes.
If he decides he's playing and he walked out on his teammates, what kind of message does that send to the teammates?
He wants out. We all knew that.
He doesn't care. I don't think he cares.
I don't think he really cares.
He scored 3 points the other night.
Well, I know. He went 1 of 9 or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
he don't
from
care.
Field,
he just doesn't care.
He wants out.
Oh, I know he wants out. But what kind of message are you sending by saying, oh, I'm a little banged up, but I could go play in an exhibition game, but I don't want to hang out with you guys on the bench after I got banged up.
It's a horrible look. It's a horrible look for him. It's a horrible look for the team. It's a horrible for his teammates who are trying to win and trying to salvage a season. And it's also horrible for trade suitors who want him because that sends a bad message to the trade suitors who say, well, hey, you better – hey, if we're going to trade for you, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks, whoever – they're going to say the Milwaukee, they're going to say, why the heck are you doing that? If we're going to trade for you, if we're going to trade for you, you better not pull that stuff off on us. You know,
Alvin Gentry, after the game yesterday, he was asked about Anthony Davis leaving. Mm-hmm. He characterized the entire saga as a dumpster fire. And he said,
it is a freaking dumpster fire.
I'm going to talk about the guys who played in the game. They did a great job. We found a way to win the game. That's what is important tonight.
There you go.
You know what sucks, though? Alvin Gentry, to me, he's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
He just stuck in a situation where he's just sinking.
Yeah.
It sucks. Because Alvin Gentry, I think, is a good coach.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
The fact that he characterized it as a dumpster fire, I think that's an appropriate term without, you know, putting expletives in that statement.
Right.
I think perfect words. It is a freaking dumpster fire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if other teams will see it and be like, okay, if you ever get unhappy with us, are you going to do that? Like, you can't do
that. So let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
Alvin Gentry, is he gone after this season?
No.
You think he stays?
I don't think he... I mean...
I mean,
if he gets fired, shame on the Pelicans.
I think it depends on the new GM.
I mean, yeah, obviously the GM gets to say in which direction he does. If he gets fired, he'll find another job.
Absolutely.
He'll get another job.
It sucks.
And who knows? He might want to start fresh somewhere else.
Yeah. Maybe.
But this could be a situation now where he could get these players to rally around him. They won the game. They beat the Thunder.
They beat the Thunder, yeah.
The Thunder are one of the best teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Paul George
came out
playing
and beat him with Anthony Davis doing nothing.
Paul George is playing like a man possessed right
now.
Yeah. And he dropped 9.
You know what? I mean, for what is now going to be an absolute – the fans at this point, being a Pelicans fan, you got to be in hell. How do you even watch the games at this point with what's going on? It's hard. Got to be hard to watch. But, I mean, if your team's going to compete and give you competitive basketball like this and rally around your head coach, then it might be suit them to keep him around. They might be able to build something here with that and kind of use this as a leaping point. Just, if he don't want it, we're going to go move on without him, which is fine, but they got to make sure they handle this the right way. Now that they fired the GM – get a guy in there who's going to take control of the situation.
Right now they're looking for
they need an experienced GM.
For an interim GM, they're looking in-house right now just to get through the season. But I'm pretty sure they're going to bring an experienced guy with NBA knowledge on how to run an organization as a GM, and he's going to have to inherit a situation that's at this point already boiled out of control.
Phil's available.
I shake my head for that one. That one's good.
I had to.
Fucking Phil Jackson.
All right, this is from Woj earlier today.
Woj bomb!
Ownership and senior management have been pleased with Coach Alvin Gentry and his staff and believe players are largely responding in what's been a tumultuous stretch, sources tell ESPN. ownership's plan with a new GM will be continuing to push back on Anthony Davis' preferred trade destinations if they don't make sense for Pels, especially with a full year left on his contract.
So he's staying.
My guess is they're going to let they're going to wait to see who the new GM is, and then they'll go from there.
Well, what it does do is it resets all the trade talks. Mm-hmm. Anything the Celtics said, please wait, off the table.
Yep.
You're going to be talking to a completely different guy.
Yes.
Anything the Lakers said Good to point. Him, off the table. You're talking to a completely different guy.
And a sane guy at that, because
this guy, I mean,
this guy was out of his
Think about it, from things where he was MIA. Oh, he's not answering any phone calls.
Dude,
he's locked in his office.
Listen, the language.
Get out from under your rock.
The dude was out of his fucking rocker, bro. This guy was out of his mind.
Dude, he locked himself in his office and wouldn't answer the phone.
Out of his mind.
I just picture him in the fetal position. Stop calling me, Mama. Stop calling. Why are they calling me?
Oh, man. Wow.
You could have just traded Anthony Davis and gotten it out of your hair.
Let me ask you a question.
Especially when you're going to get. Think about it. You think about him now, knowing. Not that he could have known he was going to get fired. But
I think
he would have made the move if he knew this was coming. You know what I mean? To save his ass, he would have made the move.
I think he was.
That's a good point.
He had the power to make it.
I think he was going to be fired no matter what.
But he had the power to make this move. They gave him the power to negotiate at the deadline. He had the chance to make the move and set up the future of the team, and he didn't make a move. He never made a move.
I think both of you are right.
Yeah, so instead, I think they got him out the door.
I think both of you are right. I think he was going to be fired at the end of the season. I don't think it would have happened yesterday, but okay. I think he would have been fired at the end of the season. But he also had the control to make that move. If he had the inclination that he was staying and that this was the situation, or the inclination that he was leaving, he probably would have made that move.
And think about this from the owner's standpoint. You fired him now after he didn't make the move. If you're saying he would have fired him at the end of the year, then why would you even have let him negotiate the possibility of making that move and let it turn into what it did? You would let him do that in faith that he would make the move and move this franchise forward and away from this. By not making the move, you extended this drama into the summer, and it's not something that the owner wanted to deal with. So now, okay, I'll end this drama right here. You're done. There's a new guy running the show, and he'll take over this and make the move that the Pelicans need because you didn't make it. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
Not saying it should have been to the Lakers, but to anyone, he should have gotten this done.
Just the way that this whole situation was handled.
Because you're not keeping him there.
Yeah, he's not staying. For one or another, he's not staying. Mm-hmm. If you don't work out a trade with him, with another team to get him out of New Orleans, and he plays out the rest of his contract, which obviously won't happen, he's leaving one
exactly.
way or another.
And it's like, how many other times do we hear this? And it's like, all right, the team's holding on because they think he could stay.
He's
I could go back to Kobe. Even after Shaq left, said he was done. He was walking
didn't
in free
Kobe's,
agents.
Didn't
he
Kobe
said,
say
I'm
he
done.
Yeah.
He said, trade me.
Yeah.
Trade me. Trade me. And the Lakers said, hold on, we think we can fix this. Because they knew Kobe Bryant wanted to be a Laker.
Yeah.
It was the Lakers weren't giving him what he wanted, so they gave him what he wanted.
Well,
they went out and they got Pau Gasol. They got Lamar Odom. They got Derek Fisher back. They went and drafted Andrew Bynum. Like, they did what they had to do to make their player happy. The
Kobe
Pelicans
was playing his move.
Cannot do that. They cannot put the pieces around him. There's no way they can persuade him to stay. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So this is why they should have gotten him out of the door as soon as possible. Instead, he got swayed by Danny Ainge and the Celtics saying, wait, and it cost him his job. It did. Whether it was the right move or not.
It was obviously the wrong move.
Now for him, you can see because he lost his job.
No, not even that. I think yes, I understand the Celtics have a very nice lucrative package that they have over there in Boston. That they could give the Pelicans. But I think the smart move here would have been to send him to Los Angeles.
Yeah, move on from the drama because
the
now
drama.
You have a fan base that's going to come and say, what am I even rooting
for
tonight?
And listen, you're going to have that. All right, right before the All-Star break, you send him out to L.A. This whole situation is over. You hit the reset button. Everything's new. Everything's fair game now.
Demps would have had a fresh start, and then he would have even had the rest of the year to even possibly earn Okay, if I'm on the hot seat, let me show that this move, these guys I have in here, whether I'm going to make another move over the summer or I'm going to use these pieces and grow this roster, he would have had chances and opportunities to make moves. But by standing pat, he laid his own grave.
You know what?
He laid his own grave.
He bit himself in the ass.
And I don't think there's any way he maybe could have seen it evolving into what it did in this situation. I don't think they realized the gravity of what it is, a superstar like this under contract saying, trade me. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going here. I'm not going to be here. Trade me. And if they would have traded him, obviously that sets such a bad precedent. because then any other superstar midway through their contract can do the same thing. So I get where it was such a hard place for them, but it was such an obvious thing here that he's not going to stay. And you look at the, like Gentry said, the dumpster fire it has now turned into. Demps needed to go. You have the guy walking out of the stadium. He's not listening to the organization anymore. He's going to clearly listen to his agent. Was it Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and do whatever they want.
Listen.
Whatever they want. They showed their hand. They said, this is what we're doing. And you only made it harder on your young team and your head coach to succeed.
Listen,
good for them for rallying and getting the win.
This situation, it had no reason to become this extent, to this extent. It had no reason getting this out of control.
Well, it is to be said, too, Anthony Davis could have kept his mouth shut until later in the season and into the offseason.
Yeah, well that
especially
was
especially when he wanted to push to get it done by 50, the deadline.
50. It's 50-50
blame. It's literally right down the line.
Right down the middle. The organization itself, or Dell Demps, whoever you want to blame on the organizational side of this, didn't handle this the correct way. And then Rich Paul and Anthony Davis did not handle this situation the correct way because they went out and said, we're seeking a trade here. Send me out of here. I'm not coming back.
Yeah, and then it comes down to they have to trade him, and they didn't trust Demps to do it. After what they saw at the deadline, they go, why am I going to trust this guy? He goes MIA, he doesn't return team's phone calls, then he does, then he's leaking the offers. They said the Pelicans are leaking the offers the Lakers are making, pretty much destroying the Lakers. That team, literally, all we talked about the Lakers, we were all happy LeBron was coming back, things were going to be great, all these shred rumors coming out, now this team is literally done. You want to talk about another dumpster fire? The Lakers. Same thing.
I think it's two.
It's two different things. Two different sides of the coin.
I was
going
to say, I think it's too but you can early to say dumpster fire, but.
Dude, we just lost to the Hawks.
I guess you could say that.
We lost to the Hawks.
I mean, we've lost to the Hawks, too.
You're the Knicks! You don't have LeBron James!
That's a dumpster fire.
Your best scorer is Dennis Smith Jr.
Who they should have drafted. He's done pretty well.
That's not bad.
He had 19 last night.
This is from Wojnarowski. Ownership's plan with the new GM would be continuing to push back on Anthony Davis' preferred trade destinations if they don't make sense for the Pelicans, especially with a full year left on his contract.
One way or another,
he out.
Anthony Davis is out. He's not staying in New Orleans. He's either going to get traded or he's going to play out the last year of his contract, and the Pelicans are going to walk away with nothing. That's what's going to happen here. The smart thing would be to trade him, obviously, because you're getting assets back, and you're improving your team at that point at that point in time. Doesn't matter who the other team is, but if he plays out the last year of his contract and he walks away, you look like a dumbass because you got nothing in return for Anthony Davis, a superstar player in the NBA whose haulback is going to be good. It's going to be a good piece of players, good draft picks. But you got nothing back because you couldn't get your sorry ass out of your own way.
I have comments from the owner, if you want to hear those.
Gail Benson?
Yep. Gail Benson said she has been angry over the Davis trade demand and her belief that outside forces are trying to push the franchise into decisions that don't make sense for it.
What outside forces?
Well, that's up for a discussion. You could either say Ainge and the Celtics getting involved. You could say Adam Silver, you could say Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and Davis's agent getting involved.
I think that's where LeBron James.
You could talk about Magic Johnson. And there's plenty of names that have been, but no one is thinking about the Pelicans in this. That's where she's saying, why are the Pelicans getting to push something that's going to hurt them?
So then her mandate has been to take back control from outside forces. One league source told ESPN. Benson has been adamant with the organization to find a pathway to sustainable winning in one of the league's smallest markets and plans to be aggressive in pursuing the best available candidates to oversee basketball operations moving forward.
You were offered Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, two first-round draft picks, and I think Brandon Ingram, right?
Ingram, Kuzma, Ball.
Rondo,
The Lakers literally said, take your pick.
The Lakers literally said, take my roster for Anthony Davis.
They said you can have as many
outside forces,
whoever you want, and then give you our draft picks too.
Outside forces? It's your own doing.
That's why I said I think you could be considered the Celtics are outside forces. Where it was, and even Popovich. Remember the story with Popovich calling the Pelicans and saying, do not trade to the Lakers. Do not trade to the Lakers.
I think that was a Stephen A. Smith reporter rumor that he brought up, I think. Right?
Yeah, but like that's so many outside pieces are reaching into this and saying, don't do this, do this, wait till the summer. She just got sick of it. She said, I'm going to hire someone that's not going to take all your bullshit.
I would be too.
I'm going to hire someone that's going to come in here and just take control of this team.
I would be. Either you get your shit together or you're out of the door.
Who the hell is out there that's going to do that, though?
Good question.
What GM is out there that could do that?
Good question. Solid question.
Phil.
As stupid as it sounds, he might be the only one that fits that persona with the cojones to do it. But
he'd ship him to the Lakers.
Yeah, he would give him right to the Lakers.
Hey, Genie, you want to come take him, baby?
Oh, I don't know. That would be a hilarious phone call because there's a little animosity there.
They're not together anymore.
No, they were engaged.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
For a long time.
That's right.
A
long
time.
Yeah,
forgot about that. The Zen Master still gets down, man.
What about when Phil takes over for Luke Walton next year?
That could happen.
He would love that.
You won't hear a complaint from me. Phil Jackson is like the greatest.
Phil Jackson has a head coach.
I'm not arguing that.
He doesn't have to get up from his seated chair. We'll put wheels on it. He can go around like, what is it, Dr. X in X-Men.
Charles Xavier.
Yeah, Dr. Xavier. That's all he needs to be is Dr. Xavier.
LeBron
starts going, all right, guys. We're going back to the triangle. That's it. We're going to run the triangle offense. Coach, that hasn't worked in 20 years. I don't care. It's what we're running.
Yeah. Kobe comes out of retirement.
Yeah, and Kobe Bryant starting tonight.
Lamar Odom's a sixth man.
Oh, man.
Now starting for the Lakers, number 24, Kobe.
Kobe.
Bryant.
Yeah! I would go nuts. I would go nuts. That would be better than the Hardys coming back at WrestleMania.
And you know how the PA announcer says it, too.
Kobe.
No enthusiasm, number 24.
In his 16th season out of Lower Marion High School, number 24, Kobe Bryant.
LeBron James, number 23.
The LeBron James one doesn't have as much flair.
Yeah.
Like, even when it's monotone.
Like, even
in his 15th season out of St. Vincent's Mary High School. Small forward, LeBron James. Kobe Bryant's just a better name.
Kobe.
It's better. Kobe's better. Kobe's better.
Kobe's better.
Like, when Kobe dropped, what was it? Kobe dropped 50 in his last game?
63.
It was 63. You're right. You're white.
There should be a card game.
I am white.
You're white.
There should be a card game called Kobe versus LeBron.
Right?
Let's just go all out. It's a card game.
Can we just make a movie? Instead of a sequel to Freddy vs. Jason, give me Kobe versus LeBron.
When Kobe's dropping down his points in his final game, all you hear the PA announce it, Kobe.
Kobe Bryant.
Bryant.
Three-pointer from Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. You don't hear any of those. Well, but you know the guy's excited.
Well, watching that game, it was just like, and Kobe brings the ball, passes it to Kobe. Kobe over to Kobe. Kobe to Kobe in the corner. He shoots, rebounded by Kobe Bryant.
Sounds like Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny baseball thing.
Not pitching, Bugs Bunny. Play center field, Bugs Bunny. Play right field, Bugs Bunny. Doing pitching, Bugs Bunny. Play catcher, Bugs Bunny.
And there's this,
that was like the Lakers during the time when Luke Walton was on the team. It was just Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant would put up 45 a night. They'd lose by like 15.
Kobe Bryant calls timeout, and we have substitutions. Kobe Bryant's coming in for
Kobe Bryant. And here comes Afro Kobe checking in for
Is that Kobe with the number 8 jersey? Oh, it's God. Oh, goodness gracious. It's Kobe.
Oh my God.
Here comes Kobe fresh off of his first rap album.
Oh, my God. Charlotte Hornets Kobe.
Talk about another Pelicans flop if you want to go back into their history.
With that being said, we're going to go to
Rick. They traded Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac.
Vlade made his way back to the Lakers anyway. We're going to break. We'll be back here on Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. You're listening to Chalk Talk on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
How we doing, everybody? Hello. Last segment here on Chalk Talk.
Hello.
It's your co-host, John Fogarty, alongside Renee Canales, Evan Mazza, and Mike Rifkins on the sticks. We're going to do a WWE Elimination Chamber.
The WWE.
Oh, God, I'm missing. Now I miss the WB Kids on Saturday.
The Animaniacs.
They're coming back. The Animaniacs are coming back.
You know what else they're coming out with? Coming back with on Nickelodeon?
Freakazoid.
That.
All that. I saw it yesterday.
Is it really coming back?
All that.
All that was great.
All that.
Oh, it was.
All that.
Keenan and Kel were like my favorite thing.
Keenan and Kel are
who loves orange soda? Kel loves orange soda.
I do.
My parents, when I was younger, used to try to ban me from watching Good Burger because I'd watch it so much. I love
Good Burger. You can never ban anybody from watching
it. My parents like, you have to stop watching this movie. And I'm just like, I can't. I want a Mondo Burger so bad.
Welcome to Good Burger.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? I love it when he's fixing the shake machine. Whoa, I'm a dude.
He's a dude.
I'm a dude. He's a dude. She's a dude. And we're all dudes. Yeah.
There's nothing
that's where,
better.
That's
man.
Where I use. I do it all the time when we say like big words. Like I know some of these words. He hands him the contract for the sauce. I know some of these words.
I love what it. What were you saying when he was cleaning the
shake machine, and he's just like, he can't figure it out how to fix it, and the guy walks up and just flicks the switch on, and he just starts
on, he's in there, he's like, and he's just like,
whoa!
Whoa! Whoa!
Whoa! Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Whoa, Nilly.
I was just watching a video on real quick before you get to the WWE.
Oh, it's behind me.
I'm watching a top 10 of the greatest dunks at the dunk contest.
For the picks, get that 2003 rock theme.
What do you think was number one?
Hollywood Rock.
Vince Carter.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. 540?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best dunk ever.
Number one.
The only other thing they would put number one, let me guess, Jordan is number two. Three? Who's number two?
Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
Julius Erving.
The
Dr.
Cradle?
J.
Huh?
The Cradle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of my favorites.
Blake Griffin dunking over a car?
No. He didn't dunk over the car. He dunked over the hood.
Over the car. I know.
It wasn't over the freaking car. It was over the hood.
You know what else I hated? The 12-foot Dwight Howard dunk. Where you just upped the hoop to 12 feet and jumped and dunked it.
Well, dude, you're tall as shit.
Yeah,
so
you're a 7-footer in the dunk contest. So what do you expect?
I like Nate Robinson over Dwight Howard.
That was fun.
Nate Robinson. See, those are cool because it's little guys. Like we think about like
Spud Webb. He was in the top 10.
Spud Webb is one of the coolest dunkers ever because he was.
Jason Richardson
five,
was one of the most.
Like, I used to love Jason Richardson.
Loved him
back in the old school Warriors.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, he was a beast.
Those uniforms like Jason were really.
Speaking
cool.
of
yeah, they were.
Speaking of old school Warriors, did you guys ever?
Baron Davis.
You guys ever see the Twitter account This Day and Suck? It's a Golden State Warrior Twitter account dedicated to the days before the Warriors dynasty. It's like all this stuff between like that.
This day in suck.
Look it up. It's great. It's
Can we start our own segment doing that?
This day in suck.
On this day.
October 20-something, Game 7, 06.
That's hilarious.
You see, now why you got to go there for? You love doing it to yourself, don't you?
I'm a Mets fan. This is what we do to myself.
You're not supposed to do it to yourself.
That's what we do. You pay.
Sometimes you got to do it yourself,
You
man.
Punch yourself in the face knowing you're a Mets fan, and then you turn on the TV, and you watch the team.
Bacardi and Cola.
Bro,
do it.
When you've been a fan as long as I have, bro, you would understand what
it's like. I've been a fan of the New York Mets since 1960 freaking 2.
This
team
caused
me nothing but pain.
Bro, I was there in 69. I barely remember 86, too. I was partially there for 2000.
I remember when I first had chocolate. I hated it. Chocolate.
Wow.
What? What?
This is one of my favorite moments on the show.
What are you saying?
Like, we're planning to do a segment, but let's just do quotes instead.
I know, right?
They're selling chocolates, man! I remember when I first had chocolate.
I don't need it.
I hate it!
I don't need it.
I don't need it.
I don't need it. I
definitely
don't
need it. SpongeBob.
They're making a new SpongeBob movie.
No, they're not!
Yeah, they're making another
new
SpongeBob movie.
We're getting a third one?
Yeah. It's gonna be sweet.
Is this the Chris Grubb?
No.
The first one was
Patrick.
The greatest thing ever.
Why couldn't you do Sweet Victory?
Hi, is this the Chris Grubb?
No, this is Patrick.
Hi, is this the Chris Grubb?
No, this is Patrick.
Can you feel it, Mr. Krabs? Can you feel it? Can you feel that elimination chamber is on Sunday, Mr. Krabs? Can you feel it? Because I can.
Ah, back again.
So like we said, Elimination Chamber coming up this Sunday for the WWE. You can catch that on the WWE Network.
For
$9.99. Or, hey, if you didn't do it yet, I believe they still do the free trial period for the first month.
If you
sign up, you'll have the first month for free, and then everything after that, you'll have to pay $9.99 a month.
Or you can just have a friend that has the WWE Network, and you just use it off of him.
There you go.
Thanks, Pedro.
Vote for Pedro.
That's right. You do use Pedro's.
Vote for Pedro.
Pedro, thank you, Pedro.
Oh, man. But moving into Sunday, obviously, if you wanted more, we'll have a full in-depth breakdown of that on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network on Sunday's episode of Behind the Barricade. Ladies and gentlemen. It's time to smell the Elimination
Chamber. I don't care
what
anybody says. This gimmick is the best rock gimmick, and this is his best theme song. I don't care what anybody
says.
Is this
the one where he came out in, like, the pants?
Hollywood Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, the shades and the jacket?
The best gimmick, like
a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
The best gimmick and the best song.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready?
Let's do it!
For the Elimination Chamber.
All right, without further ado, let's get it. We're going to go through each match, kind of get our opinions. First one we're going to go through quick because I don't think anyone even gives a crap.
Cruiserweight?
Buddy Murphy versus Akira Tozawa, WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Buddy Murphy is going to win in a squash.
Yeah, I'll say Buddy Murphy too.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy.
Sounds like an Undertaker theme song.
And now onto the actual card. We have Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush versus Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. To me, I look at this match and I just see it as, all right, Finn had this great match against Brock Lesnar. And they have to make it obviously, if he did that good against Brock, he's going to beat Bobby Lashley. So they add Lio Rush as, like, the equalizer. But I still see Finn Balor winning this match. It's about time he gets some kind of recognition. And to have him as the Intercontinental Champion going into WrestleMania would be that great recognition. A great first step. And I think Finn still needs that big face push.
Yeah.
I really think he deserves it. And this would be a good first step in that. In the same way, I thought the Lesnar match was a good step towards that, too. Because you knew he wasn't winning the match, but they made it.
That was great.
That was one of my favorite matches of the year.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Wow.
The year kind of just started, so I got you there.
Well, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. No, but in WWE standpoints, the year to me doesn't end until WrestleMania. The end of the season.
That's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Hey, Big Mike, I have one request from you, all right?
Sure.
Since you're playing the WWE music over here, right?
Okay.
You got to give me one song at the end of this before we leave, all right?
Okay.
You got to give me the Undertaker theme song.
Sure.
That's all I ask of this, all right? But this is after you guys are done with this Elimination Chamber talk, all right?
Remember, not you're going to pay because we can't do it. As much as I would love, you're going to pay.
No. I want
the
vintage.
Gong.
I want vintage, old school Undertaker. All right?
Got it.
Next match, Mr. Fogg.
Coming up next, Ronda Rousey versus Ruby Riott for the Raw's Women's Championship.
I really don't like Ruby Riott.
I love Ruby Riott.
Dude, how are you not?
I'm not a fan of her.
You don't like the Riot Squad?
Dude, you gotta start.
I like one piece of the Riot Squad.
I can imagine which one.
Is it Liv?
Do you even have to ask?
Yeah.
Do you even have to ask?
I live for Liv.
God I'm damn. A big Mandy Rose guy.
Yeah, that's the next one. Right?
So is Corey Graves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Big time.
But in this match, I mean, Ronda Rousey. She's not losing this match before WrestleMania. Yeah. Obviously, like, you already know what the match is at WrestleMania. They're not going to strip her of her title. Mm-hmm. The pay-per-view before it.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't fumble this any more than they've already fumbled. So.
Yeah, I don't know what they're setting up. This is where I think Becky Lynch gets into the show. Because I think everybody knows this match is a Ronda Rousey win.
Interfering?
No knock on Ruby Riott. She doesn't win this match. There's no way she wins the match. But I could see Becky Lynch coming in, and there's no decision, so Riott doesn't take the fall. Rousey comes in. I mean, Becky comes in, starts up some crap, and then maybe when we see those two and Charlotte in the ring at the same time.
Well, Charlotte's going to be there, so she might interfere, and then you see the Becky situation.
I think you'll see all three of them in the ring at the same time on Sunday.
Probably. There we go.
Moving forward.
Wait, Mike, who you got for Balor and Lashley and Lio Rush?
I've got Balor, but I think he'll pin Rush to keep the whole Lashley aspect of
I'll pick Lashley and Rush, but it'll be like a little screwy thing.
Yeah,
so they win, but it keeps going. Renee?
Give me Balor.
Balor.
Okay. Dude, join the Balor Club. It's just
and
too
all
sweet.
And we all think Rousey.
Oh, yeah. That might be the squash of the night.
Yeah. I wonder what the Vegas odds on that match are.
Where's the Elimination Chamber?
Where is it?
In a city.
Toyota Center in Houston.
Oh, it's in Houston?
Yes.
Dude, James Harden's beard will be there.
Ooh. On to the next match.
He'll be somewhere else.
He'll be somewhere else.
In possibly the most boring match you could have ever put Braun Strowman in. Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. Nothing.
I can't stand Baron Corbin.
No DQ.
Boron Corbin.
Boron Corbin. 100%. That's a great way to put it. Well, Braun Strowman wins. You're not going to have Strowman lose to Corbin.
There's one way I could see it not being Strowman, and that's if Drew McIntyre gets involved.
Which he will. Which no DQ, so he will.
Right. So maybe you see Strowman and McIntyre.
I think that's what they want to set up for WrestleMania. Like
right.
A battle of the Giants between McIntyre and Strowman.
The other rumor I've heard is maybe McIntyre Cena, but we don't know where.
I don't want that at all.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all. At all. Do you want that?
I don't care. I mean, it'd be cool. It'd be cool, but John Cena's apparently shooting a movie, so he's done.
I don't have any matchups I need to see Cena.
I'm with you.
I've seen them all.
I understand. But I'll take. Since
it's in New York, you know, have something like, you know, like one of those. He comes out, somebody comes out, and you know, kind of, you know, jaws his mouth off, and then Cena just, you know. Attitude adjustment, and then he walks out.
He'll be there at WrestleMania.
Some two-minute.
As long as he doesn't do
what he did last year.
Yeah, to Elias, who didn't deserve any of it.
I just want Elias to get some respect.
Undertaker, the two-minute match with him.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, start with the Elias
part.
Okay,
yeah, that's right. Good point.
You know how, like, when The Rock had that...
Eric Rowan.
Yeah, Eric Rowan. And that crew, and then John Cena comes out. You know, something like that. Something like quick.
Sure.
Quick happening. Quick and gone. That's it.
I'll pick Strowman, but everyone's going to get involved. McIntyre, Angle, whatever, you know, but I'll say Strowman. Renee?
Give me Strowman.
Strowman, big guy.
On
to the next match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. We have The Miz and Shane McMahon versus The Usos. Obviously, with Jimmy Uso getting arrested this week.
Going to the real Uso penitentiary.
It kind of makes the outcome of this match a little bit predictable in my eyes. You're not going to put the championship on a guy who just fought and squared up with police officers, especially when he's going up against the son of the company.
Yo, shoot the hands, B! Shoot the hands, B!
Well, the guy who does this for punches.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but it worked.
And still does... Freaking gainers off the top rope.
That's crazy.
It's hilarious. And he always looks up like he's totally less like lost a lung.
In tops of cages and stuff.
And just falls down. Oh, man, it's great. But, yeah, I'm taking The Miz and McMahon.
Give me some more Undertaker music.
Just some...
Well, we can't... I hate the fact...
I can't give you the lyrics.
We can't do it. Or Kane music. Give me some Kane music.
Slow Chemical.
Yeah, just the regular Kane.
Can't do Slow Chemical. I'll pick... Yeah, Miz and Shane. It's Miz and Shane. It's easy, Miz. Honestly, this match could be a 3-minute squash as punishment. Unfortunately for Jey Uso, it's not his fault. His brother got busted. There we go. That's good. There we go. That's great. It's the best. And, you know, and Naomi was even a part of it, too. So
She was driving
the wrong way. That's great, that song. But, yeah.
Driving the wrong way.
She was driving the wrong way. And apparently the car reeked of alcohol.
That's what she gets going after Mandy Rose, damn it.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
Miz and Shane.
She was
like
just trying
minutes.
To...
Mandy Rose is just trying to be a good citizen.
And screw your man.
Miz and Shane. Renee?
Same.
What's that?
It's really sad because I want it to be the Usos because I can't stand Shane McMahon, but it's not going to be... My only hope is once they take the titles off of them, it goes to Gallows and Anderson.
They're probably on their way out of the company.
I know.
And Anderson.
Just try to keep
it's
them.
A shame they didn't use them for crap.
Yeah,
you can say it for a lot of people.
Oh, such a waste.
Oh, hot act coming into the company too. Then we go to the Women's Elimination Chamber for the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. It'll be the first ever tag team champions for the women. Who will hold the honor? We have the
Boston Hugs connection in Bayley and Sasha Banks, who I really hope don't win this match.
I'm
so tired
That'd be so
of
annoying,
Sasha Banks.
I don't mind
Bayley. I hate Sasha Banks.
What?
It drives me nuts. Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose.
Yum.
We have.
Oh, yeah, that's a great team right
there.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Naomi and Carmella.
I'm a big Carmella fan.
I love Carmella.
You got Tamina and Nia Jax.
That's actually one of the teams I guess you could say has a big chance of winning it, just simply because it's Tamina and Nia Jax. But
Tamina's awful.
And then we have the other members of the Riot Squad, as well as the Iconics rounding
out the field. Listen, if y'all just want to put Liv Morgan and Mandy Rose on the same team, hot damn! Hot damn!
Let's hope that all of them are in the ring at the same time.
Hot damn!
I wouldn't mind this starting, just for the fans' sake, let's put Carmella, Liv Morgan, Mandy Rose,
and then just have Alexa Bliss stand there for us for entertainment, just to start the match.
Right.
Oh my God. You guys are Vince McMahon, thinking of that.
Exactly.
That's Vince.
More like Vince Russo.
Oh.
Yo.
But what are our thoughts?
Bayley and Sasha.
I'm going Nia Jax and Tamina.
All right, Mike.
I'm going to go with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Good man. Have to join you and say Nia Jax and Tamina.
Such a physical match. Honestly,
yeah, but
I think
sometimes
it shows out.
Things like that, wrestlers like that get eliminated the first time. They could get eliminated, be the first eliminated,
and that you might see something where if they even come in late, everyone teams up on them and tries to get
them. Yeah, pretty much.
But it'll be interesting.
It's like how they always do when, like, the Great Khali was in a match or, like, in a Royal Rumble or you know, like, Big Show or something like that. They always team up and try to get those guys out.
You guys got another theme you want?
In the format of this match, Jeff
Macho
Hardy.
Macho Man.
Oh, no. The Hardy Boys theme song.
Oh!
Yeah, the Hardy Boys.
Okay. Oh my God!
Actually, it's funny because you can go right to the.
Yep, he's in the next match. But I want to say one thing else about the women's match is it two both tag team members are in at the same time.
Yes,
and then when both tags come in,
both members of the team come in.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you did one by one,
that'd take forever.
Ever. Okay, on to the men's elimination chamber. I think this is gonna be a real good one. Some people aren't too happy with the card of who's in the match. I think this sets up to be a high-flying, exciting Elimination Chamber match.
Hit it.
Mixed
you
in.
Hit it.
Oh, yeah. Mixed in with some good brawling, good classic wrestlers. But, you know, my all-time favorite, the charismatic enigma himself, Jeff Hardy, in this match. I want him so badly to get his moment and win another title.
He had his moment in Armageddon 2008.
That was 11 years ago.
That was his moment.
I want another one. I know he's not going to get it tonight, but you have Kofi Kingston, Jeff Hardy, the new Daniel Bryan.
Love the new Daniel
AJ
Bryan.
AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and Samoa Joe in the Elimination Chamber. I don't think they're going to take the title off of Daniel Bryan before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But it could be one fun as hell gimmick to set up. Him and AJ, because I think the plan is him and AJ. I think that's the plan. So, if AJ takes this title away, it would be kind of interesting where you could have if he mocks that title a little bit, that new title, and really kind of enhances the heel quality of Daniel Bryan. Let's
put some barbecue sauce on it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like he could just eat like a rare steak off the top of it and just pull into the stadium in like a diesel truck. You know, and like really incense Daniel Bryan. Like that could be like a really fun thing they could play.
Kill the earth!
Yeah, exactly. And then he'll obviously, I think Eric Rowan gets involved in this match somehow.
Yeah.
They're going to find a way for him to get involved. I'm so torn between Bryan and AJ. I think Daniel Bryan wins the match, but I could definitely see AJ Styles as well. Everyone else in there for me is just in there for show. Setting up other rivalries.
Right.
You're trying to set up. They've tried to do it previously and then stopped. Tried to set up Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe.
Right.
That could be something they're setting up. They could be setting up Randy and Jeff Hardy again. Because Randy and Jeff Hardy, that rivalry they had at Hell in a Cell, people bought into that.
Yeah.
People loved that, seeing those two guys.
That was nasty.
That was nasty. But that was a great match. And those are two of the most beloved superstars in the business. And there's guys that are diehard Jeff Hardy guys and guys that are diehard Randy Orton guys. So it'll be interesting to kind of see which guy you're taking. I'm gonna take Daniel Bryan in this match, though.
All right, Big Mike.
All right, I'm with you. I'm torn between two, and I'm gonna take Bryan also. The other guy for me is Samoa Joe. Just because I feel like this is an opportunity to finally utilize Samoa Joe to the potential he had when he first entered the company.
Mm-hmm. And it was some Stone Cold.
Okay. Oh, there we go. I would say the Disturbed theme song, but we can't use that. I love his Disturbed version.
The Bleacher Report prediction is about as perfect as you could have for Jeff Hardy's prediction of this match.
Oh, he's going to do something crazy.
Jeff Hardy is a human highlight reel and is bound to have the most memorable showing out of everyone involved before falling short.
No, Jeff Hardy will do something crazy. I'm going to take Daniel Bryan, and I'm going to make a couple of bold predictions. A bold prediction here. Daniel Bryan will win because Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, and I'm going to do it, Bray Wyatt will interfere. They're both, apparently both of them are ready. Luke Harper and Wyatt are both ready to come back. They will interfere, and we will get a new, maybe improved, Daniel Bryan leadership of the Wyatt family.
What I'm does that gonna, do for Bray Wyatt?
I'm just going to throw... What's up?
Where's Bray Wyatt come into the fold?
Bray Wyatt
Bray is
well,
the ultimate leader of the Wyatt family.
But Daniel, but he realized that Rowan and Harper, or Rowan especially, are following Daniel Bryan.
That could set up even another feud.
Yes. Yeah. And you can make Wyatt the babyface because he's like, because maybe he realizes, wow, Bryan's just totally losing his mind here. I need to set him straight.
I don't know if I could buy into Bray Wyatt as a babyface.
He, you know what? He's had his moments as a babyface where people cheered for him, and it was actually really, really decent. So he's had his moments as a babyface, but I'm going to say Bryan wins because of that. A sneaky pick? Randy Orton. I'll just say Randy Orton is a sneaky pick.
Because with the men's title, I feel like there's more of an opportunity to, even if you take the title off Bryan, to get it back to him before WrestleMania.
At Fastlane.
Yeah, you could get it back to him easily. And you could have a fun match where it's, say, Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan, yeah, or just them two straight up.
Yeah,
sure.
Because he gets his rematch clause. That's always a big thing. Every champion gets their rematch clause. So if he loses, he's going to get – that'll be the next main event of the next pay-per-view.
Big one to look for is Kofi. Kofi apparently got a lot of momentum after that SmackDown showing when he had to take over from Mustafa Ali after Ali had injuries. He got a lot of credit. He got a lot of praise for that.
I love Kofi Kingston.
Kofi
man.
Might get a one-month
courtesy
run.
He puts on entertaining matches.
Yeah.
I would like to see him in like we have Finn Balor in the Intercontinental Championship. Why can't that? Kofi Kingston's a guy of me that screams Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, he's been a lot. He's been
or
a nice
United
champion.
States Champion.
Well, yeah, he's always been. Yeah.
Those titles are similar in regard. I think the Intercontinental Championship a little higher, I guess,
because it's longer prestige.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll just, for shits and giggles, I'll say Samoa Joe.
Bleacher Report actually predicted Samoa Joe.
I wanted to pick Samurai Jack.
Oh, man. But like we said, that is the WWE Elimination Chamber. You can tune in for that Sunday night on the WWE Network. Join us Sunday morning on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network for Behind the Barricade, hosted by Anthony Carriger. He called in the first hour of our show today to get to... We plugged that a little bit for him.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We help each other out.
That's how you do it around.
That's
here.
All
but
we do. We
on behalf of the entire Chalk Talk staff, we want to wish you guys a happy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It is the end of our Friday broadcast. We'll be back with you on Monday. We'll recap the Elimination Chamber a little bit, go over all the sports stories of the weekend. The NBA All-Star break is in full effect.
Dennis Smith Jr., dunk champion.
Big game for St. John's on Sunday against Villanova.
The Johnnies! That's a redemption game.
Yeah.
Big time.
Has to be.
They need it. They have some quality wins, but that would be a big one to get that back and kind of cancel out the first one. But everybody have a happy and a healthy weekend. We will see you on Monday afternoon. Peace out.
Peace
out. Goodbye.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.